is the Bloomberg Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Bonnie Quinn on Bloomberg Radio.
Now it is time for the Market Drivers Report, and Dave Wilson is in studio. He is the author of The Visual Guide to Financial Markets and our stocks editor here on Bloomberg Radio. He's been looking at Yahoo following results. It's now better positioned to fend off calls for a breakup after the report, Dave.
Well, it is, Bonnie. I mean, Yahoo Chief Executive Marissa Meyer didn't mention the activist firm seeking a breakup of the web portal when she appeared on a conference call late yesterday. She didn't have to. The firm's Starboard Value, which sent a letter to Meyer about 4 weeks ago. Starboard called for Yahoo to stop acquiring other companies and discuss a deal with AOL instead. The firm also called for smaller losses in its display ad business. Now, Yahoo's third quarter results buttressed its defenses against Starboard. Adjusted earnings were 52 cents a share, 22 cents more than the average analyst estimate in the Bloomberg survey, and sales beat the average projection by the widest margins since at least 2006. Jeffries wrote in a report that Yahoo's results pointed to a turnaround at the core of its business. The firm cited growth in four areas: mobile use, internet search, native ads, which are tied to news stories, and video. Now, Meyer said on the call that her turnaround effort is making progress, and the stock's performance today shows investors agree. Yahoo up 5.8% in today's trading, second biggest gain in the Standard & Poor's 500.
Dave Wilson, thanks so much. Another Market Drivers Report coming up in an hour on the show. Bloomberg Advantage is brought to you by Wheels Up. Wheels Up is a membership-based private aviation company that significantly reduces the cost of flying private while providing unparalleled flexibility and service. Visit wheelsup.com for more information.
Now, on the Bloomberg Advantage, the author's advantage.
Glenn Hubbard, talk with us about his new book, Balance, The Economics of Great Power from Ancient Rome to Modern America.
It's not a declinist book. We actually think America can turn this around.
Joe Studwell, the author of How Asia Works.
The demographic story in East Asia is actually pretty consistent.
David Stockman, author of The Great Deformation, The Corruption of Capitalism in America.
Bernanke wouldn't know a bubble if it slapped him in the forehead.
Ben Emmons, author of The End of the Risk-Free Rate.
The idea of risk-free has changed, and that's what I focus on this book.
The Bloomberg Advantage. The author's advantage on Bloomberg Radio.
The New Class Conflict, a new book by Joel Kotkin. You've heard him many times on the show. He's the Roger Hobbs Distinguished Fellow in Urban Studies at Chapman University in Orange, California, and the executive editor of the widely read website newgeography.com, looking at the unbridgeable wealth gap in America. Joel, welcome to the show. It's great to have you in studio today.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
About time. We've done it many times on the phone. So for starters, with a particular focus on Wall Street versus Silicon Valley, you talk in your book about the rise of the new oligarch, and that's all the IT, all the technological wealth that's being created in this country.
Oh, yeah. If you take a look at the Forbes 400, for instance, you'll find that almost all the younger people on the list and the people who didn't inherit money are from basically the Silicon Valley, some of them in the media. All the ones under the age of 40 are from Silicon Valley. So you have a agglomeration of wealth that really we haven't seen probably since the turn of the 20th century, when we just started to see the emergence of people like Carnegie and Ford a little bit later on. But essentially we're in an industrial shift to the information age, and these are the people who are riding that wave. And that wave is having some negative effects on other parts of the economy and even some very powerful corporations that were entrenched and powerful for decades.
So a new gilded age, if you like, centered around California. Now, you say that this is sort of an example of a wider issue in the United States.
Right, because what you have is you have tremendous amounts of wealth being concentrated in very few hands. The big difference of the old oligarchs and the current oligarchs, the old oligarchs needed lots of workers, and they needed all different kinds of workers. They need blue-collar workers. They need middle-skilled workers. These people basically need just a bunch of computer geeks who they can get from all over the world at sometimes not very high prices. And they also don't need consumers in the same way. Henry Ford, as miserable a human being as he may have been, Henry Ford had to pay his workers in part because he said he needed them to be able to buy his cars. Steve Jobs didn't have to think about that.
So demographically, I get this is good for, let's start with California, which is what, 20% of the nation's economy.
Well, it's really not that good for California except for Silicon Valley. The rest of California is actually in pretty bad shape. Los Angeles is not doing particularly well. The inner parts have some of the worst poverty in the country. And overall, when you adjust for costs, California has the highest poverty rate in the country, higher poverty rate than Mississippi.
What does that have to do with all the influx of immigrants?
Well, I think that has something to do with the fact that when people came into an area with the idea that there would be all these middle-skilled jobs and entry-level jobs, and then those jobs disappeared. In a way, it's a parallel to what happened to African Americans who moved into Chicago and Detroit during the 1920s, 1930s, and even later, thinking, well, they were going to go work for Henry Ford, and then the auto industry began to implode, and obviously other industries like steel also started to implode. So these people are sort of caught in an economy that has no place for them.
Well, all right, let's take some numbers. Facebook employs, 7,100 people. Google right now is an employer of 52,000 people. That sounds like a pretty decent amount of people to me.
Well, not given their market cap. Their market caps are so much higher. I mean, if you take even an aerospace company, will employ many more people due to its market cap. And overall, there isn't anything like the kind of employment you saw. Even in the old days of Silicon Valley, of HP or companies like IBM here on the East Coast, there just aren't the numbers, and the composition of that workforce is much different. It doesn't have as broad a group. Right. So one of the interesting things is in the middle of this boom in Silicon Valley, African American and Hispanic incomes have actually dropped, which is quite amazing, and that the largest homeless encampment in the United States, by some accounts, is in San Jose, because even people with jobs can't afford to live
there.
Well,
in fact, Chapter 4 of your book, The New Class Conflict, this is we're talking about, the geography of inequality.
Well, and this is one of the things that we see, and I mean, you don't have to go very far in New York City to see it. I mean, you take a look at Brooklyn. Brooklyn is, you know, everyone says, oh, Brooklyn's doing great. Well, parts of Brooklyn are doing great, but much of Brooklyn is not doing so well. About a quarter of the population is under the poverty line. About a quarter of the population is on food stamps. And incomes during the first part of the 21st century have actually dropped in most Brooklyn neighborhoods. So what you have is tremendous accumulation of wealth, huge property value surges, and at the same time, a very, very difficult situation for much of the population. One of the things the New Class Conflict talks about is the fact that we have a boom now, and the boom doesn't distribute the way it used to.
All right. Would this be happening anyway, even without Silicon Valley? We're going to continue this conversation with Joel Kotkin. He is the author of the new book, The New Class Conflict. This is Bloomberg Radio.
You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Bonnie Quinn on Bloomberg Radio.
This portion of the Bloomberg Advantage is brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds, the right way to invest. They find exceptional companies best positioned for transformational growth in emerging markets. Explore opportunities in emerging markets at oppenheimerfunds.com. We're speaking with the author of The New Class Conflict. It's just released, and it's by Joel Kotkin. He talks about Silicon Valley's new round of entrepreneurs or founders, if you like, and how they're not exactly creating the jobs that the entrepreneurs of the earlier ages like the Rockefellers would have created, and that's going to lead to some serious problems which we're already seeing in the United States. For example, you know, a concentration of wealth and a middle class being squeezed. You've lower income proportions rising, and you've very high income proportions rising, and the middle is being squeezed. Joel, would this have happened anyway? I mean, we lost all those jobs as a result of a housing bubble. Some of them have come back thanks to the likes of Facebook and Google and all these social media and gaming companies. I mean, it's arguable that John D. Rockefeller's jobs that he was giving away weren't exactly all that desirable either.
No, they weren't as desirable, but there were more jobs for people with more modest educations. And you didn't have something like H-1B visas where you basically get somebody from Bangalore to show up and accept a salary considerably lower. You just didn't have that kind of mobility. You know, globalization, technology also plays a big role in this. And then what you have in a place like the Silicon Valley, and also obviously you see this to some extent in New York, is you have very high housing prices, so people will never be able to buy a house. And in places like, for instance, New York or Los Angeles, you can have 30-40% of the people spending half their income on rent. Well, you know, that is something we did not see very much in the past, and now we see it a lot.
Now, the dominance of some of even the biggest players, like Google, is so big in Silicon Valley even, overshadowing so many other companies. What does that mean for where we're going in the class conflict, the distribution of wealth, and the distribution of jobs?
Well, I think what we're looking at is a society which is rewarding at this stage these kinds of technologies. And those technologies are simply not going to create the middle-class jobs on the scale that we need them to stabilize the society. You know, Justice Brandeis made the point that you can have concentration of wealth or you can have democracy. You really can't have both. When you have a very small group of people who control the vast majority of wealth or a preponderant part of wealth, who can essentially create economies just out of their own spending, then I think you get tremendous distortions. You see this with Manhattan real estate.
But isn't that a lot of the money that's coming from China and Russia? Well, those wealthy people want to park their money somewhere.
But also you have the tech people. They also are coming in. And certainly in San Francisco, which, my first job in journalism was in San Francisco. And it was, you know, always expensive, but nothing like it is now. I mean, now, you know, people are talking about 200 square foot apartments. You have people, you know, literally living 3-4 people in a one bedroom apartment. And you have a price of housing that is gone through the roof. And so when you concentrate this very high income group in a small area, the prices go through the roof. And, you know, that means that middle class and working class San Francisco is almost disappeared. To give you one interesting illustration, since 1970, the African American population of San Francisco has been cut in half.
Joel, will that correct itself? Is that a short term phenomenon that will eventually sort of even itself out? As we get these companies being founded, you know, more and more middle class jobs are being created, because those engineers at Google, for the most part, are not really highly paid anymore. Stock options are sort of gone. I mean, the big companies have been founded now.
Well, the problem that you have in a place like Google, and one way it may eventually equalize, is what happened in the last round, which is once these companies realized that they could not keep people as they got into their 30s, as millennials get older and they start thinking about getting married and having families and they want to buy a house, they move their operations elsewhere. If you go on Highway 15 between Salt Lake City and Provo, it looks like Silicon Valley, because all those companies have been moving a lot of their middle management into places like Salt Lake City, Austin, where people can actually be able to buy a house and live a middle-class quality of life. With, you know, $100,000 in Salt Lake City is a lot different than $100,000 in San Francisco.
You'll have to come back. We've got to talk more about this book. I've got to quickly say that when I was in Austin, I met a young woman who had a job with a hedge fund up here covering a certain industry, was traveling down to Austin, liked the cost of living, could never get what she wanted here. Moved from Brooklyn down there just a few months ago.
And you're going to see much more of that movement. We even see the movement of people beginning to move even to some of the old Rust Belt cities where the quality of life.
Hey, Detroit, you can get a really cheap house there if you're willing to fix it up. Joel Kotkin in his new book, The New Class Conflict. This is the Bloomberg Advantage. Bloomberg Radio.